بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وآله وصحبه وسلم، ونسأل الله تعالى أن يوفقنا لما يحب ويرضى. اللهم آتي نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها. أما بعد، for respected brothers, inshallah, just a few words we're going to share today, and sisters. I hope the sisters are listening, inshallah. And the kids too. The kids, you can come here, inshallah. Come join and inshallah, listen. You'll get the benefit, inshallah. So the aqiqah, the meaning of the aqiqah. The scholars, they say that the meaning of the aqiqah, it is the celebration that is done normally on the seventh day after the birth of a child. And the aqiqah, usually it refers either to the animal that is slaughtered. Some of the ulama, they say aqiqah, what it refers to is slaughtering the animal. And some of the ulama, they said aqiqah, what it refers to is the shaving of the hair. The shaving of the hair. When that's done on the seventh day, then they say that is the aqiqah. Whereas some other ulama, they say the slaughtering of the animal, that is the aqiqah. So when the hair is shaved on the seventh day, then that the weight of that hair is given in gold or silver in sadaqah. Some of them, they say this is the meaning of the aqiqah. And so the Prophet ﷺ, in a hadith that's narrated by Ibn Abbas, he slaughtered two rams for his sons, his grandsons Hassan and Hussein. He slaughtered one ram for each of them in one narration. A ram is a male of the sheep, the male ram. He slaughtered one for Hassan and one for Hussein. On the aqiqah also, the name of the child is given, generally. The name can be given immediately, like with Ibrahim alayhi salam. When the Prophet alayhi salam had Ibrahim, he named him immediately. But it can also be given on the seventh day, giving the name of the child. And it's very important, the Prophet alayhi salam encouraged us to choose a good name for the child. That's one of the very, very important rights of the child, to choose a good name for him. And a person, there were some people who had names that had a bad meaning in the time of the Prophet ﷺ. And the Prophet ﷺ would change their names so that the meaning would be good. So the name is very, very important. Once a person, the Prophet ﷺ asked for a volunteer to milk a camel. So then a man stood up and the Prophet ﷺ said, "What is your name?" He said, "My name is Harb." So the Prophet ﷺ told him, "Sit down." Because he didn't like the name Harb. So because of that, he prevented him from milking the camel. Because of the Harb, it means war. So he told him to sit down and he asked for somebody else to volunteer. So choosing a good name is one of the duties of the father. It's a duty of the father. And a very interesting story, that in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, a man came and he complained to the Prophet ﷺ. He said that, "My son is cursing me. My son, he curses me." So the Prophet ﷺ, he called for the son. He said, "Where is the son? Why are you cursing your father?" And so the son, he told the Prophet ﷺ, ask my father what he named me. And so the father named him a very derogatory name, not a good name. And so the son, he said, "Ask my father who is the mother he chose for me." And the son said, "She doesn't have any knowledge. She didn't teach me anything about my deen." So then the Prophet ﷺ, he turned back to the father and he said, "Stand up." He said, "You have cursed your son before your son cursed you. You chose a bad mother for him. You chose a bad name for him." And so the mother couldn't teach him knowledge and the name had a bad meaning. And so this was a type of cursing the son before the son actually cursed his father. And Ibn al-Qayyim, he says that every person has a nasib, he has some effect from his name. And there was one sahabi, there's an example of what Ibn al-Qayyim said, his name was Suhail. Suhail means the easy, making things easy. And so this sahabi, when he went out on one of the battles, when he was amongst those people, the battle became very easy. And the Muslims, he was victorious in that battle. So the Prophet ﷺ said, "Today your name has come true. Today you have gotten fulfilled the meaning of your name. So every person they have, they're affected by the meaning of their name. Every person they exemplify in some way the meaning of their name. Ibn al-Qayyim, he also says about regarding the naming. He said if a person is blessed with three sons, then he should at least name one of the sons Muhammad. And if he doesn't, then this is an ignorant person. This is the view of Ibn al-Qayyim, that we should name, if Allah blesses us with three sons, we should name one of them the name Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And from here, the Prophet ﷺ himself, he said, you can name with my name, but not with my kunya. Name your children Muhammad, Ahmad, his name, but not his kunya. His kunya was Abul Qasim. So he encouraged people to use his name to name their own children. It's allowed to do that, it's encouraged to do that, but not Abul Qasim. Regarding the Aqiqah, some of the history of the Aqiqah, where did it come from? The Aqiqah actually existed in the time before the Prophet ﷺ, amongst the Yahud, amongst the Jews. But the Jews, the Yahud, they only did the Aqiqah for the son. When it came to the daughter, they didn't do any Aqiqah. They didn't slaughter anything. When the Prophet ﷺ came, he changed it so that we slaughter two of the ghanam for a male and one for the female. He changed that ritual. They used to slaughter one for the male. The Prophet ﷺ changed it to two to be different than that. And they didn't slaughter anything for the female. The Prophet ﷺ taught us to slaughter for the female. Also, in some narrations, this hadith we read that he slaughtered one sheep for Hassan and Hussein, one for each of them. In another narration it says he slaughtered two for Hassan and two for Hussein. Imam Malik, how do we distribute the meat? Imam Malik, what he would do is when he slaughtered two sheep, he would give one in charity when he did the Aqiqah, and the other sheep he would keep for him, his family, and for his neighbors. That was the view of Imam Malik. And the Prophet ﷺ, he did the Aqiqah for his grandsons, Hassan and Hussein. Fatima in the hadith, she asked the Prophet ﷺ, should I sacrifice on behalf of Hassan and Hussein? The Prophet ﷺ said no, because of course he wanted to do it himself. He did it on behalf of his grandchildren. So the Aqiqah is definitely enjoined in Islam. It's a ritual, it's a sunnah of the religion of Islam. Anybody who denies that, then they are making a great mistake. Regarding who does the Aqiqah, the grandfather, he's allowed to do the Aqiqah. In fact, in the Arabic language, when the Prophet ﷺ, he referred to Hassan and Hussein, he called them Ibn. Because Ibn, it could mean the son, the grandson, the great-grandson, all the way down. And the father could refer to the father, the grandfather, the great-grandfather. They all use the word Ab in Arabic. In Surah Al-Kahf, when we have the story of the two orphans whose wealth was in the wall, so Khidr, he says, كَانَ أَبَوَيْهِ أَبَوَاهُمَا صَالِحًا أَبَوَاهُمَا, he says, their parents were righteous, the orphans' parents. But in the tafsir, we see that who's being referred to, who was righteous, the seventh generation grandfather. Seven generations before, he was very righteous. He made dua for his progeny, and all that dua, it benefited his great-great-great-grandsons who were orphans, and because of that, Allah protected their property. So, having the grandfather, it's allowed to do the Aqiqah on behalf of his grandson. In fact, the scholars say that even an uncle or aunt, they can do the Aqiqah, and they don't even have to take permission, according to the strongest view. They can even do the Aqiqah without getting permission for the one that for whom it's being done. This is the some of the ulama, they mention that. Regarding also we see an inheritance. Some of the ulama, they regard the grandfather and in the place of the father. In the Hanafi school, if the father is not alive and the grandfather is alive, then the grandfather takes the place of the father in terms of the inheritance laws. So the in that case, if the father is there, this is called kalala. If there's no father, then the brothers inherit. If the fathers are there, then the brothers do not inherit. And if the grandfather is there, according to Abu Hanifa, even if the father is not there, the brothers are blocked. The brothers do not inherit. So according to Abu Hanifa's view, the grandfather, he takes the place of the father. So the same way in the Prophet ﷺ, he did the aqiqah on behalf of his grandson. Naam. Also, the next part of the hadith, there's another hadith regarding what can be slaughtered. The Prophet ﷺ, it was narrated by Aisha radiallahu anha, that the Prophet ﷺ ordered for a boy two ghanam. Either two ghanam is a sheep, or two sheep, or two goats. And they should be mutakafiyatain. They should be equivalent. And for the baby girl, he ordered for one ghanam, either one sheep or one goat. Hadith is narrated by Tirmidhi, who said it was authentic, and Ahmad and the four Sunan. They narrated it. So here in this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ, he commanded for a boy, for two sheep to be slaughtered, and for a girl, one sheep. The previous hadith, it said that the Prophet ﷺ slaughtered one ram for Hassan and one for Hussein. So which one has more priority? Do we follow the first hadith where he did one for each of his grandsons, or do we follow this hadith where he commanded to do two for the sons? Which one should we follow? The action or the command? The command. We should follow. This is one of the principles in Usul al-Fiqh. When you have an action and a command, and they seem to contradict, the command takes precedence. The command takes precedence. Because the action could have been for some specific circumstances. Whereas the command, it is addressing the whole ummah. It's for everyone, for the whole ummah. The ulama say that, and also, why did the Prophet ﷺ slaughter one ram for Hassan and one for Hussein? Did he do something that is not legislated? The ulama say that it's not obligatory. Slaughtering two rams is not obligatory. So if one slaughters one, it's acceptable. He didn't do, it's not an obligation, a fard, where you have to do two, so doing one is allowed. And some of the ulama, they said he did that he taught to do two later on, so we'd be different from the Yehud, from the Jewish people, and so they should do two for boys. And also the woman, they say, why two for a man and a boy and one for a girl? The Prophet ﷺ, sometimes he did one for the boy in order to show that it's permissible to do the same for the boy and the girl. He did that occasionally. But also we should realize for the sisters that this is the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that we shouldn't question or challenge the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, He has the wisdom why He legislated things. He had the wisdom why He commanded two rams for a boy and one ram for a girl. Just like He commanded that the boy, he inherits twice that of his sister. If there's boys and girls, in inheritance law, the boy gets twice the amount that his sister, she gets. In the same way Allah has said, Ta'ala, that the witness of one man is equal to that of two women. Sisters, I hope the sisters are listening to this. It's a very important point. That Allah Ta'ala, in His wisdom, He commanded that. And so we have to follow the command of Allah, not question the wisdom of that. Also in Islam, the man is commanded to spend on the woman. The woman is not commanded to spend on the man. So we should be happy with this law. And before Islam, for the sisters, again, if they question why one ram for the sister, for the girl, before Islam there was no sacrifice for the girl. So Islam came and actually enjoined the aqiqah for the girl. And so this should be something that makes the women, they should realize that this is something good that the Prophet ﷺ brought. The men, they have an additional responsibility. الرجال قوامون على النساء. They have more responsibility. They have to spend on the women. They have to take care of the women and protect them and provide them for them. And Allah Ta'ala, He mentions the woman in the Quran, that she grew up amongst jewelry and trinkets. She's not strong in arguing. She has more of a softer nature. whereas the man, he's very strong when he argues. So the Islamic law is that the male has to provide for the woman, and the male inherits twice that of the woman. Two sheep are slaughtered for the man, one for the woman. This is a blessing, for women didn't have any sacrifice before Islam. The next hadith, inshallah, this hadith is narrated by Imam At-Tirmidhi, who said it's an authentic hadith. And it was also narrated by Ahmed in the 4th Sunan, that Samura radiallahu anh said that every child is mortgaged by his aqiqah. Every child is held in mortgage, or held in ransom, or in lien, by his aqiqah. And there should be a slaughter on the 7th day, the head shaved, and the child named. Again, this is narrated by Ahmed in the 4th Sunan. So here, in this hadith, every child is held in ransom by his aqiqah. And then the animal should be slaughtered, the head shaved, and the name given on the 7th day. So here, the ghulam. The word is used, the ghulam, boy, but it refers to both the boy and the girl. And it says that the child is mortgaged, is pawned, is held in mortgage. So what does that mean? What does it mean that the child is ransomed by his aqiqah? In ulama, they give an example like a house. If you buy a house on a loan, and then the lender, he has a lien on that house, and the house is not released to the purchaser until he pays off the loan, until he pays off what he owes on the house. Otherwise, it's held in lien by the lender. So the same way, the child, he's held in lien by his aqiqah. So when his aqiqah is done, the lien is released, the child is released. So here, what does it mean that the child is released by his aqiqah? Here the ulama, they gave some different explanations. The majority of the ulama, they say this lien on the child, what it refers to is his intercession for his parents on the Day of Judgment. That the child, if the aqiqah is done for him, then he will be allowed to go and intercede on behalf of his parents on the Day of Judgment. This is the majority view. Some of the other ulama, they said that what it refers to, the being in lien, is that if you do the aqiqah, then the parents can intercede on behalf of the child. The parents, they can intercede with Allah on behalf of the child on the Day of Judgment. And Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah, the student of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he has a third view. And he says that these two views are not valid, that the intercession for the parents, because no one can intercede without Allah's permission. If Allah is angry with a person, even the whole world, everyone wants to intercede for that person, they will not be able to. Because the intercession is up to the permission of Allah. So Ibn al-Qayyim, he said, they cannot intercede. Even the prophets on the Day of Judgment, they will not be able to intercede. Adam alayhi salam, you know the hadith where the people will ask Adam alayhi salam, Ibrahim, Isa alayhi salam, Musa, they will all be asked, make the intercession, they'll say, Nafsi, they will not be able to intercede. Only until the Prophet makes sajda before the throne of Allah Ta'ala, and for a long time he praises Allah with his beautiful names and attributes, and then finally Allah says, قُلْ فَاسْأَلْ, stand up and ask. And then when Allah gives the Prophet permission, now you can make intercession. Only then can he make the actual intercession and ask Allah Ta'ala to begin the Day of Judgment. So any intercession has to be its subject or its condition by the permission of Allah. No one can intercede on behalf of anyone else except by the permission of Allah Ta'ala. So Ibn al-Qayyim, he said, what it means that he's held in lien, it doesn't mean that he can intercede if you do the aqiqah, but what he said is it means the effect of the shaitan on the child will be removed. The shaitan, his effect, he leads people astray. لَأَغْوَيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ لَأُضِلَّنَّهُمْ, I will lead them astray, I will confuse them. So this effect of the shaitan on the child, when we do the aqiqah, mashallah, like the brother did today, then by doing that aqiqah, it will release or prevent the effect of the shaitan from the child. This is what Ibn al-Qayyim, he said, the meaning of aqiqah, the meaning of the lien is. with the child, he's under the effect of the shaitan, and when you slaughter the aqiqah, it takes away the effect of the shaitan on the child. This is what the shaitan will not be able to harm the child. This is the view of Ibn Qayyim. And very interestingly, the fuqaha, they say, they recommend that when you cook the aqiqah, not to cut up the bones, not to cut the bones, but to cook it without breaking the bones. This is what some of the fuqaha recommend. The reason for that, they say that for every limb of the animal, the corresponding limb of the child will be released from the hellfire. So for the arm of the animal, when it's sacrificed, the arm of the child will be released from the hellfire. The leg, the head, etc., the stomach. So all of these things, the ulama recommend roasting the animal whole for the aqiqah. Because the limbs of the animal will be corresponding to the child, each of their limbs will be released from the hellfire. This is another of the meanings of the aqiqah. And one final meaning for the aqiqah that we're going to talk about is showing the gratitude and gratefulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For being having blessed for a child, Allah ta'ala, He uses the word yahabu liman yasha'u dhukura yahab. Hiba in Arabic means the gift. So every child that we get is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many people that they're sterile, they're not able to have children. So what a blessing. So giving the aqiqah is giving gratitude to Allah for the greatest gift, the gift of a righteous child. So what are the sunnahs now, inshallah, for the newborn child? The sunnah when one has a newborn child is call the azan in his right ear. And some of the ulama, they say the iqama in the left ear of the child. Number two, of course we mentioned already giving a good name. And number three, which is very, very important, is to teach the child the good manners, to teach the child the akhlaq. We see the Prophet ﷺ in his seerah, he used to teach the children how to eat from the plate. He used to teach them to say the name of Allah before they eat. He used to teach them to eat properly from the plate. So to teach the adab to the child. Now, regarding the animals themselves, when we read this hadith, we're reading this hadith, that the Prophet ﷺ, he commanded that two ghanam mutakafiyatain, two equal animals, be slaughtered for the boy. What does it mean, two equal animals? Some of the ulama, they said, equal animals means equal in weight, that their weight is roughly the same weight. Some of the ulama, they said, what it refers to is they should be the same type of animal. So should be two sheep or two goats. Shouldn't be one sheep and one goat. Two of the same type of animal. And some other ulama, they said, mutakafiyatain, that they're equivalent animals, it means they should be of the same gender. So if you have one male, you should have another male. If you have one female, you should have another female. So these are some of the views amongst the ulama. For the girl, of course, just one goat or one sheep is what is legislated. The final part of the hadith, the seventh day, that the aqiqah should be done on the seventh day. So what does it mean, the seventh day? Say the child is born on Saturday. So when is the seventh day? Saturday? Is Sunday the first day, or is Saturday the first day? Is Saturday included? If we say Saturday is included, then Sunday would be the second, Monday would be the third, Tuesday would be the fourth, Wednesday would be the fifth, Thursday would be the sixth, and Friday would be the seventh. But actually, the ulama, they say you do not include the day that the child was born. So you start counting from the day after. So if the child is born on Saturday, then his aqiqah will be, which day? The following Saturday. You start counting from the day after. The seventh day would be the seventh complete day, which would be the following Saturday. Except in one case. If the child was born before Fajr, they say, where's Brother Isa? Was he born before Fajr or after? Before Fajr, okay. Good. So now we can use your example. What day was he born? On a Saturday, mashallah. So here in this case, he's born before Fajr on Saturday, so we count Saturday as the first day. So then the aqiqah could be the following Friday. Friday. But if one is not able to do it the following Friday, then he can do it afterwards, inshallah ta'ala. There's no harm in that, inshallah ta'ala. Okay, and why the number 7? This is also very interesting. What is the hikmah? Why the 7th day? Why not the 8th day, the 10th day? Shaykh Atiyah Muhammad Salim, he says the number 7 is found often in the Quran and in the Sunnah. And he considers it the last of the numbers, of the counting numbers, and then after that it's like repetition or multiples of 7. So he said 7, you look in the Quran, we find that Allah created 7 heavens, He created 7 earths, He gave shade to 7 people on the Day of Judgment, 7 groups of people, that Musa, when he struck his staff, there were 7 springs that came forth from the ground, that when we go to Hajj, we make tawaf, how many times? 7 times. We run from Safa to Marwa, 7 times. We throw the stones, 7 times. So we find in a lot of places in the Quran and the Sunnah that the number 7 is used. So this might be one of the wisdoms, wallahu a'lam. Now the doctors, even the doctors, we see they use the weeks, the 7 days of the week, when counting the embryo, the age of the embryo. They don't use months. Usually they say 3 weeks, 10 weeks, 23 weeks. So the 7 days of the week is also what is often used. What happens if the child passed away, by qadr Allah, before the 7th day? He didn't reach 7 days. Many of the ulama are of the view that there is no aqiqah. Some of the ulama, they are of that view that there is no aqiqah. Other ulama, they say there is still an aqiqah. Also, the next part of the hadith, that his hair should be shaved. The hair should be shaved. Now here, what is the wisdom behind shaving the head, shaving the hair of the baby? The ulama say that the hair that is on the newborn when he's born, this type of hair is weak. And by shaving that hair, the stronger hair will grow in its place. And also the ulama say that that hair has been mixed with the blood in the womb. So to remove that impure, the hair that was there in the womb, that has been mixed with the blood, and to bring fresh hair, this is the wisdom behind it. And some ulama, they say that should the girl's head be shaved also? The majority say yes. The majority of the ulama say yes. Some of them said no, but the correct view, Allahu A'lam, is that the girl's head should also be shaved. Now the last part of the hadith, the naming. The naming of the child is the right of the father. So if the mother and the father, they disagree about the name of the child, so then the view of the father is given the precedence. It's the right, the haq of the father to name the child. You should choose a good name and not a derogatory, a bad name. When we choose the name of the child, should make sure that we choose a good name. And finally, the last thing about putting saffron on the head. In the Jahiliyyah before Islam, when they shave the head, they would take the blood of the aqiqah and rub it on the baby's head. This is what they used to do before Islam. In the pre-Islamic time, they would slaughter the aqiqah and take that blood and rub it on the baby's head. The Prophet ﷺ, of course, he forbade this, and he taught that we put saffron on the head of the baby. Saffron is a type of perfume, a nice smelling perfume. So this completes the lesson on the aqiqah, inshallah ta'ala, and I encourage all of you, inshallah, to seek this beautiful knowledge and to make this the topic of our conversations and not the other things that will cause us to follow the whispers of the shaitan. May Allah increase us in following the beneficial knowledge from our shuyukh. May Allah increase us in knowledge. May Allah bless all of our children and keep them on the path of Tawheed their entire lives, and all of us with them, inshallah, and our progeny until the Day of Judgment. Jazakum Allah khairan. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Allahu ta'ala anam. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If the wife and the husband, they disagree on the name, the wife wants to give another name. Yeah, that's like a middle name.
Add another name,
middle name. You can have as many middle names as you like. So your grandmother, your aunt, everybody, they can add in, inshallah. So you don't have to hurt anybody's feelings. the names are, the Prophet gave some people nicknames and people had other names and middle names. So kunyas, Abu Huraira, for example. So there's no harm in giving more than one name to the child, but if there is a dispute about a particular name, the father has the ultimate right.
I love the name Abdullah.
Yes.
My wife said, I love him more.
Yes.
So I said, okay, then please do Abdullah more.
Yes, that's a good compromise, mashallah. Abdullah and Mu'adh, you can say Abdullah and Mu'adh. Yes, no harm in that, inshallah. Inshallah, very good. May Allah reward you. You have Umar, Abu Hafs, you know, we have Abu Bakr, As-Siddiq. As-Siddiq was his nickname, it wasn't his birth name. So it's okay to add names, inshallah. Jazakallah khairan. Provided they're good in meaning, inshallah. And that way you keep your wife happy, inshallah, which is very important. Jazakallah khair. Any other questions, inshallah?
Is there any specific time that within this time you have to give the name of the child after the birth?
We have the different narrations. We have one that the Prophet ﷺ said, today a child was born to me, his name is Ibrahim. So he named him the same day he was born. And then this hadith, he said on the seventh day the child is named. So the ulama say either way is acceptable. You can name him when he's born or you can name him when on the day of the Aqiqah, inshallah ta'ala. Yes, brother, fadal. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. Yes, yes, there is a specific age, it's Musinna, and there are some differences amongst the ulama, but roughly you would say for the sheep or the goat 1 year, and for the cow 2 years, and for the camel, if you do a seventh of the camel, or 5 years. And the Prophet ﷺ said, if you don't find a Musinna of the sheep, you can use a 6 month a younger one, 6 months, if you don't find the 1 year. That's roughly the major view, but there's other views. Some of the ulama, they say 2 years for the sheep and the goat, so there's some differences amongst the ulama, but that's the strongest view, inshallah. Jazakallah khair. Barakallah feek. Very good question. Any other questions, inshallah? May Allah reward all of you. No other questions? Jazakum Allah khair. Inshallah, we'll see you all, inshallah, for the next halakha tomorrow, inshallah, after Maghrib. Inshallah, everybody's invited for the next verse. Jazakum Allah khair. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi. Wallahu a'lam.